Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the half-year 2013 conference call. My name is Dave, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star 0 on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Mr. Adewale Tinubu to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good day, and thank you for joining us at this first half of the year 2013 Management Account Results Conference Call. I would like to begin by giving a brief recap of our operational and financial performance, after which our CFO, Femi Ademo, will provide further details on our financial results. In the first half of the year 2013, we remained steadfast in our commitment to developing the higher margin midstream operations as well as our upstream operations, which have performed creditably as opposed to our downstream, where we've had to reduce our imports by over 30% as a result of delays in the payment of subsidy refunds due to the downstream marketing companies. In our case, we have outstanding $32.5 billion from these Federal Government of Nigeria guaranteed subsidy payments. Now, the net impact of this, of course, for us is that as these payments are delayed, it clogs up our credit lines, as well as we incur interest, which ultimately gets refunded to us, but puts pressure on the company's ability to expand its operations. It also has the impact of directly affecting our revenues and our net profits as well, too, because we do have to reduce the amount of volumes which we're currently processing in the downstream. We, however, continue to explore efficiency plays to increase our margins in the downstream and also add value in that sector. And I think one of these things will be the net impact of the near completion of our Apapa subsea jetty, which will substantially contribute to our net profits as a result of tolling fees which we will earn from the use of the facility, as well as the substantial cost we would incur as a result of the substantial reduction and almost elimination of lightering costs in our imports in the sector. We're also focusing on increasing our product diversity and geographical coverage across Africa, and we're doing trading in quite a number of other African countries other than Nigeria today, with supplies into new markets and countries. The downstream is responsible for 90% of the group's total revenue for this period, amounted to $280 billion, of which $252 billion was from the downstream, and the gross margin contribution of 41% was $12.3 billion. The earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization was 29% from this sector, or $4.5 billion. And finally, the profit after tax contributions of 46%, or $2.7 billion. Typically, this sector has an average net margin of 1 to 1.5% on revenue. But this revenue, the margin is, as a result of the fact that the division carries a lot of fixed costs, the margins certainly are better as we get an incremental increase in revenue. In the midstream, our gas and power business, 5 million standard cubic feet per day compressed natural gas facility nears completion and will be commissioned in this quarter, in the fourth quarter of this year. It will positively impact our yearly earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization by $1.1 billion at full capacity, and this facility will act as a precursor for gas customers pending the commencement of construction and completion of our GL4 pipeline expansion in Lagos in the first quarter of 2014, which will increase our capacity of a current pipeline by approximately 30% to 30 million standard cubic feet per day. Final approvals have been received for the GL4 extension, which will increase our revenues and earnings by over 15%. The Alausa IPP is also nearing completion and will be delivered into operations in the fourth quarter of 2013. This project will increase our company's power generation capacity by 10.4 megawatts and yearly earnings before interest and tax depreciation and amortization contributions at full capacity by over 1.2 billion. The midstream is responsible for 4% of the group's total revenue, amounting to 3.6 billion. Gross margin contribution of 9% amounting to 2.7 billion. EBITDA contributions of 12% amounting to 2.2 billion. And finally, a PAT contribution of 35%, which is 2 billion. This sector has a net profit margin of usually a minimum of 15% of revenue. In the upstream, Rwanda Energy Resources is progressing with steady operations and successful drilling campaigns. Two wells were drilled on the Abo field to maintain production levels at 23,000 barrels per day, 3,500 barrels net to Rwanda Energy Resources. The Ebendo field production was affected by a pipeline shutting, which had a shortfall in production at a financial impact of $11 million to the company. However, production has since returned to levels at 3,540 barrels per day, which is 1,593 barrels of oil per day net to Rwanda. And we await the imminent completion of the Umugini pipeline, which will substantially increase the field evacuation potential and daily production capacity. That pipeline is expected to be completed by latest the first quarter of 2014. One well was also successfully drilled during the period in our Ebendo field, which is called the EB6 well, and that well will add 3,621 barrels of oil per day to the current production of OML-56, which is 1,548 barrels per day net to OER, effectively moving the field's gross production capacity to 7,000 barrels a day. Thus, Rwanda's share of that production will be approximately 3,000 barrels a day. Two wells were drilled on the Kwaibo field, Q13STI, and this had a tested gross production of 2,028 barrels per day, 1,906 barrels per day net to Rwanda, and Q14, which has also been drilled and is awaiting production testing. The completion of the testing. OAS awaits the delivery of the respect rig, which is expected in the country fourth quarter of this year. It's completed its refurbishment and is going through the final pre-shipment inspection. And it will be shipped out of Texas, and we expect it into the country in the next couple of weeks. And it's expected to immediately enter into contract with the IOCs at daily rig rates in excess of $100,000 a day, which we're currently earning on the fleet. In the same vein, the Integrity achieved 4 years without lost time to injury, signifying our commitment to world-class operating standards with the proactive use of our environmental health, safety, security, and quality in our operational processes. The upstream division is responsible for 6% of the group's total revenue, amounting to 16.8 billion. Gross margin contributions of 50% amounted to 15 billion. EBITDA contributions of 60% amounted to 1.2 billion. And finally, a PAT contribution of 19% amounted to 1.1 billion. This sector on average has a net profit margin in excess of 24% on revenue for OER and has actually scored a zero PAT for the services division, which is as a result of the fact that we did have a high cost of financing the total capital expenditure in purchasing, refurbishing, and putting the rig work. But this division goes immediately into profitability as soon as the fourth rig starts operations, which we expect that to occur certainly before the end of the year, potentially by November of the year, it should contribute that comment contribution. The total group figures do not equal the sum of individual entities due to intercompany adjustments of sales and interest and also costs at the corporate center, but the CFO family will go into detail regarding the net impact of the consolidation. This year, at group level, we have focused a tremendous amount of our efforts on our balance sheet restructuring. Primarily, we had been focused on reducing the overall debt of the company, which we've been able to achieve. We've had a total debt reduction between the end of 2012 and the period under review of 18%, from 289 billion to 236 billion. We've also been very aggressive in the capital raising efforts. We concluded the first round of these fundraising efforts with a 54.5 billion rights issue in April, and we've also secured shareholder approval for a special placement of another 30.7 billion, which we expect to commence and conclude as soon as we get the SEC approvals. We've also restructured our debt facilities in the services division by extending the tenor of that of the debt to a new 7-year facility. A new 5-year facility, and said facility also is at a reduced interest rate from 18% per annum in Naira to a now financed dollar equivalent at 8%. We made the call to switch the currencies as a result of the fact that the fleet is completely refurbished, the percent and in contract, and the percentage of income derivable in the US dollars is approximately 80%, while 20% of the day rates get paid in Naira. And accordingly, we're no longer exposed to any foreign exchange fluctuation, which would have been an issue had we refurbished the facility in dollars, as since the commencement of the acquisition of these assets and the delivery into contract, we've since seen a worsening of exchange rate by over 10%. One Energy Resources, our exploration and production subsidiary, has also filed the preliminary base shelf prospectus on the Toronto Stock Exchange to raise up to $80 billion, if necessary, for the closure of the acquisition of the ConocoPhillips acquisition, which we anticipate the closure to be in the fourth quarter of this year. Our major focus has also been a generation of positive free cash flows from all our business lines, and we further shrunk the negative cash flow experience at this period in 2012 to this period in June 2012 by a further 20 billion naira. And negative cash flows for the end of this period amounted to 15 billion naira. As we drive to closure of our key diversification initiatives that will transform the company into sub-Saharan Africa's leading private sector indigenous mid and upstream player, we note that this can only be achieved through the execution of a bold and unprecedented strategy, which will undoubtedly transform the energy landscape in which we exist, also promote indigenous participation in our nation's and the region's local content, and create significant value for our shareholders. I'm going to pass the microphone over to Femi Ademo to give operational and financial highlights regarding the divisional performance as well as the group. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll go straight to talking to about the profit and loss performance, comparing the first half of 2013 to the first half of 2012. Turnover went from 350 billion that we had for the first half of 2012 to 280 billion for the first half of 2013, driven mainly by the reduction in activity in the downstream as a result of the debt overhang that actually comes with that particular type of activity. Gross margin, however, was down just 3% from 31 billion to 30 billion. And that reflects the lower net margin that we have in the downstream compared to other parts of the business. Total non-interest expense went up by 3%, driven mainly by increased cost of employment. Every 3 years, Oando goes into negotiations with its unionized employees, and the effect for this year was there was a 15 to 20% increase in the emoluments for especially unionized staff members. Other operating income was down 49% from 2.89 billion to 1.46 billion. In 2012, we had a one-off income, especially from gas and power business, of about a billion. That was one-off, and that one-off income is what's not reflected in 2013, and that's why we've got a reduction in profit in other operating income. Given all that we've said, the EBITDA, given all that we said, and adjusting for interest, for depreciation that in non-interest expenses, we have EBITDA of 15.3 billion for 2013 compared to 18.8 billion in 2012. Our net finance cost went down by about 1%. Driven in part by some of the restructuring of the debt that we did over the last year. And secondly, by some of the other funding activities that we've done discussed. Depreciation and amortization went up by 25%, mainly as a result of the new rig that was put into fleet into operation last year, and as well as the relatively higher increase the relatively high level of production that we had in the upstream, considering the fact that the cost of acquisition of assets in the upstream is depreciated on a unit cost of production basis. What it means is that the higher level of production translates to a higher level of depreciation of that cost. All said, we had profit before tax of 6.1 billion compared to 10.4 billion in 2012, and profit after tax of 4.2 billion compared to 6.6 billion. I'll now go further to do a quarterly analysis comparing the Q1 of 2013 to Q2 of 2013. Turnover in Q1 was 121 billion. In Q2, it went up to 159 billion, and that's just because there was a relatively higher level of activity in the downstream in Q2 compared to Q1. Gross margin went up by about 7% from 7.4 billion to 15.7 billion, again reflecting the increased activity in the downstream. Non-interest expenses was up to 12.1 billion compared to 9.8 billion, and the main driver for that was because of the union negotiations that we concluded in the second quarter of 2013. The effect of that was backdated to January 2013, and so the differential that you see there reflects the differential for the entire half year, but which was taken in the second quarter of the year. Other operating income was 275 million compared to 1.1 billion. And again, that's more or less in line with our expectation for the second quarter of the year, because some of the one-off income lines that we normally would see, they normally would come in either at the beginning of the year or towards the end of the year. So if there's going to be any impact, it's going to be coming in second half of the year. All said, EBITDA was at 6.8 billion for the second quarter of the year, compared to 8.4 billion for the fourth quarter. Net finance cost was at 1.9 billion compared to 1.55 billion in the fourth quarter. And depreciation and amortization was at 3 billion compared to 2.6 billion, again reflecting the higher level of production that we had in Q2 compared to Q1. As Mr. Tinubu highlighted, there was lots of production in some of our assets in Q1. Quite a lot of that was first in Q2, and as a result of the higher level of production, there was a higher level of amortization of the cost of acquisition. All in all, we had a profit before tax of 1.8 billion compared to 4.29 billion in Q1, and after tax profit of 1.8 billion compared to 2.4 billion. I'll move over to the balance sheet. Just cut the balance sheet, comparing the H1 balance sheet to the December 2012 balance sheet. Fixed assets moved up about 30 billion from 130 billion to 143 billion, reflecting additional investment, especially in the offering. Parts of those the investments listed there include additional investments in the Quaibo development, as well as additional investments required to bring the fourth rig to operation. Non-current receivables went 15% from 10.6 billion to 12.6 billion. Stocks and inventories went up from 18.1 billion to 22.2 billion, reflecting just the activity, especially towards the end of that of the quarter. Trade and other debtors was up 142 billion compared to 130 billion, reflecting the level of the indebtedness that we had relating to the petroleum subsidy fund. I must say that quite a bit of that has since been paid down subsequently to the end of the second quarter. But the figures we find there are reflecting the level of petroleum subsidy outstanding as of that stage. Bank and cash balance was up almost twice, from 6.4 billion to 6.5 billion. And trade and other creditors was up 138 billion compared to 86 billion at the end of last year. The main driver of the trade and other creditors the amounts that were outstanding once the NNPC as a result of petroleum supply. Normally we have between 14 and 28 days of credit, and some of what you have there reflects the amount of the credit terms that relate to supplies by the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation. Overall, our borrowing went down from 289 billion naira to 236 billion naira, a difference of 53 billion, reflecting the proceeds of the rights issue that we concluded in the second quarter of the year. In addition to that, the quality, we've shifted quite a bit of our borrowings from short-term to long-term. So our short-term borrowings went down from 133 billion, a difference of 38%, while long-term borrowings went up from 5 billion to 103 billion. And finally, equity and reserves was at 161 billion at the end of the half year, compared to 105 billion at the end of 2012, reflecting the right to proceed. Just a snapshot of and the next thing is just to describe for you. I've spoken about 237 billion naira of overall debt for the group. The 237 billion naira of overall debt for the group is utilized as follows. About 110 billion of that is utilized by the upstream division, which includes the 70 billion naira of deposits that we had paid, paid for the ConocoPhillips assets. And next in line is the energy services business, which is utilizing about 80 billion of the total debt. Next is the gas and power, which reflect with 19 billion of total debt. I must say that quite a lot of that debt is actually effectively debt that we are carrying on behalf of the Nigerian Gas Company. We get paid back in totality by the Nigerian Gas Company for that particular debt. Our supply and trading division comes next in line with 80 billion of total debt, while the corporate itself is carrying 10 billion of debt. The 10 billion of debt that we are carrying in the corporate, it's financing on the Apapa Jetty that Mr. Tinubu admission and other projects that have been financed at the center. Going on and breaking down the performance on the division by division basis, of the 208 billion of turnover, 130 billion came from the marketing business, 214 came from the supply and trading business, while gas and power contributed 13 billion, energy services 11 billion, and the E&P division about 11 billion. I must say that the numbers do not add up together because especially between the supply and trading business and the marketing business, there is quite a lot of business that there is quite a lot of intercompany activity going on, and consolidation principles affect that you eliminate any such activities. In terms of gross margin, the major contributor of gross margin was marketing business with about 9.9 billion of gross margin, followed by the E&P division, 8.6 billion, energy services, 7.3 billion, and supply and trading, and the two other divisions, supply and trading and gas and power, with about 3 billion. EBITDA, the bulk of the EBITDA was contributed by the E&P division, with about 7 billion of EBITDA coming from the E&P division, 4 billion coming from energy services, 3 billion coming from the marketing division, and about 2 billion is coming from both supply and trading and the gas and power business. Profit before tax was 3.8 billion in the E&P division, 2.7 billion in gas and power, 2 billion with supply and trading, and about a billion in marketing. We had a negative of 2.3 billion with our energy services business. However, the concluded refinancing that was done for the energy service business, we expect that on a quarterly basis, this particular business will return to profitability. Profit after tax, the bulk of the profit after tax of 2.6 billion, about 2.6 billion came from the E&P business. Billion came from the marketing, from the gas and power business, 2 billion from the supply and trading business, and marketing delivered 727 million naira of profit after tax. Energy services was negative 1.6 billion. So, I'll be handing over to Mr. Tinubu to continue with the other part of the presentation and to be taking questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Just to let the host know that the line has been breaking up a little bit on your host line, so hopefully that will get clearer. But we have three questions coming through so far. The first one is from Gabenga Sholatan from Standard Bank SEC in Nigeria. Please go ahead, Gabenga.
First of all, thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions on based on the results that have been released so far. I read recently that Wanda is planning to build about 10 mega stations, and you indicate that you reduced your volume by 30% so far this year. So I was just trying to understand what the rationale is, since you're reducing your imports and you're building mega stations. That was the first question. Then the second question is, can I have an idea of the revenue split between your PMS, EGO, and lubricants so far today? I think that will help me give me a very good impression of lubricants and your regulated and your regulated business. Then I just jumped to the upstream business. I've gone through your prospectus for OER, the 550 million prospectus. I just have an indication of how much management plans to raise from this 550 million to fund the ConocoPhillips assets. That's the first one from the upstream business. Then page 7 of your presentation talks about our Quaibor being completed but short in until evacuation facilities are ready. I was trying to find out in terms of first oil, how much first oil do you expect net to handle, and when will this evacuation facility be ready? Then also from your perspectives, I see that your NGL represents about 6% of the OML's 63 value. So I was also wondering what tax and royalty terms applies to NGLs, if any. Thank you. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Good, thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, thank you for your questions. Can I go ahead now?
Sure, you can.
Yes, good. Now, regarding the recent communication from the marketing division regarding 10 mega stations, I think the logic that we have is to reduce our geographical footprint across the country as a result of challenging distribution costs, concentrate our throughput in the major cities, as well as sell down our smaller, low-volume stations, aggregate the capital and replace them in larger retail locations, so effectively being able to throughput more from less stations. And that's logic. Do not envisage there will be any utilization of capital other than using the existing capital raised from the sale of the existing fuel outlets which we're divesting from, and reinvesting those in these larger, more profitable outlets. In terms of the revenue split between liquid fuels and lubricants, the liquid fuels PMS contributes approximately 60% of our revenue. Gas oil contributes, which is AG, approximately 15%, and dual-purpose kerosene and aviation turbine kerosene contributes approximately 6% of our revenues. The lubricants contribute the rest of that. Lubricants and bitumen contribute the rest of that volume. Now, in terms of the 550 million that Shell Prospectus raised, we do plan to raise as much as that. However, it's important to note that our strategy had also focused entirely of us raising funding pursuant to the prospectus from a institutional market as well as the retail market. In effect, we expect to see some large ticket purchases of our stock as opposed to a general retail offering. So we are planning to raise as much, and we are pretty confident in our capacity and ability to do that. And I think your final question was on the Quibo transaction. We expect first oil to be in the first quarter of next year, and the net contribution to OAR, to Oando PLC will be approximately 2,000 barrels a day from Quibo, and also from Endo when the Nguini pipeline is completed. Based on tested wells, we should be able to ramp up production to 7,000 barrels a day, giving us a net share of 3,000 barrels a day. And we have one more well to drill, which is already in our sequence, which we expect positive results from that. So there will be, we expect a 70% increase in our production by Q1 of next year, in current throughput. And thereafter, we'll be able to give them the market guidance after the last well on F6 has been drilled.
I think I have one question outstanding. I thought about the NGL. Well, I've gone through the prospectus and I found that NGL represents approximately 6% of the value for the asset. That's the ConocoPhillips asset. I'm just trying to find what fiscal terms apply to these NGLs. Do they have tax or royalty terms attached to them?
Well, natural gas liquids tend to be spiked back into the crude oil processing line. So effectively, we will sell them. It gets converted to barrel of oil equivalent, and we will sell that at prevailing crude oil prices. And typically, the quotation which we sell the barrels under is the Brent quotation, which trades at a premium to Brent.
Okay, all right, that's right. Yeah, thank you. So if you just permit me, I'll just chip in one more question. When you were making the presentation, you talked about the refinancing of OES facility. I didn't quite get that bit.
To be precise, we had faced a very challenging process of building out the rig company from scratch. We did purchase 4 units at different states of repair. One unit came in fully refurbished from Asia, and three other units, two other units were refurbished in Nigeria, and the fourth unit has been refurbished abroad. It's taken us approximately 3 years to achieve the full refurbishment of these assets and lay them into operations. And we've been delivering them in different periods over the last 2 years, two years and a bit now. I think we've had the first rig operate for the last 3 years, and then two others have since been delivered. We have financed the refurbishment from the group, from Oando PLC directly, and Oando PLC utilized cash flows from the different divisions to fund the refurbishment of those rigs, which amounted to the capital expenditure invested in that business. So it was always a PLC liability. Now that the company, the division is up and running with its own positive cash flows, we have now been able to put the debt on the division itself, on the division's balance sheet, and a total amount of $200 million has been put on the division's balance sheet, with Oando PLC providing a shareholder loan of $225 million. So effectively, the division now has $425 million of capital employed, of which $200 million amounts to debt. That $200 million is on a five-year, 8% per annum facility, which is what puts the division into profitability as a result of the addition of the fourth rig, which at EBITDA in the region of about 50% should add another $18 million to the gross profits of the business.
All right, thank you very much. Now you're off now.
Okay, the next question is from the line of Pabina Yinkir from Vestiva in Naples. Please go ahead, Pabina.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have four questions here, four quick questions. I'm looking at the numbers reported for the E&P business, and I'm trying to reconcile that with what was announced by OER and the TSS. There seems to be some differences in the net profit figures as well as the PBT line. Can you shed some light on that? My second question, the EBITDA for gas and power came out lower than the PBT. Can you shed some color there as to what was responsible for that as well? Third question, I noticed there was no debt reported for OML. Is that the case? Fourth question, the debt reported in your balance sheet as released on the NSE is the long-term borrowing, that is, and short-term borrowing is a little bit different from the figures we are seeing here. Can you shed some color on that as well? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Can I just ask you to repeat your last question, please? You said the difference between long-term, yes.
The debt I see on the book in the presentation, long-term debt of $103 billion, is different from the results announced on the Nigerian Stock Exchange. For the stock exchange, I see long-term debt of $88.6 billion. So I just wanted to reconcile the two figures, which we should go with.
Right. Good. I'll just start at the top. Which is the I'll start at the top, which basically there will be differences between the consolidated reporting of Oando PLC vis-a-vis the divisional reporting of Oando Energy Resources. So that is to be expected, and the reason is quite simply that Oando PLC is the investor that owns the subsidiary, but has other assets that are not vested in the subsidiary OER. Oando PLC still owns interest in two blocks, and actually in three blocks, actually, which are not part of Oando Energy Resources, which are OPLs 236, 282, and 272. although ultimately the expectation is that by the time these assets reach a certain level of development, they will be transferred into OER, because the intention is for OER to be the exclusive utilization. OER will be the exclusive vehicle for the implementation of the upstream strategy of the group. There will be some time, and accordingly, there are different, we do carry certain elements of the balance sheet at PLC which we do not carry at OER, so there will be differentials. I think the next question has to do with the fact that the EBITDA of the gas and power division is less than the PBT, and that's as a result of the fact that we do, the gas and power division does have other earnings other than its direct operation. Runs several concessions, which the total amount of debt and equity invested in each pipeline must be fully recovered, and that recovery occurs as a charge of 18% of the revenues of the gas that is sold, as well as a 23% deduction thereafter for our profit margin on the gas which we throughput. So we have instances where capital which we've deployed into the pipeline will be paid back to the company as a balance sheet item, and its revenues will be earned, for example, purely from the trading of the gas that it earns. So it will occur from time to time.
In addition, when you consider the for gas and power especially, it has a net finance income, not a net finance cost. So what you have is that you got your EBITDA, and then instead of a net finance cost reducing your EBITDA, you have a net finance income which increases it, and that's the reason why you've got a higher PBT than...
The next question had to do with the... I wish you could just put some more clarity on it. We picked up new debt for OER. Could you explain what that third question was?
For OMP.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, there is no debt because OMP doesn't have any liabilities apart from its working capital liabilities. It has no debt as a business.
Okay.
I suppose it's the most mature business which we have in ASEM. So because it's not in any developmental stage, we have no debt attributed to that division. The last question was the difference between the long term and the short term, and I'll have Femi explain that.
Well, the difference between the long term and the short term is basically a timing issue. In this particular presentation, what we have done is that we've reflected the new facility that we spoke about. That was the new facility that we took on OES, while what went to the Nigerian Stock Exchange as of that time, because it had not been concluded, it did not reflect it.
So if I get you correctly, the new facility regarding OES was after the reporting period, right?
It had already been concluded, but there was a particular signature that was outstanding, and the effective date was just at the end of the for the half year.
Okay. Thank you.
So move to the next question now. Okay, the next question is from the line of Tosin Ojo from Gardinas Toll Partners. Please go ahead, Tosin. I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well, Tosin.
Okay, good afternoon. I want to get a recap of your P&P production level and the targets you have for each of your facilities. I want to get a specific profile of that on your EMP business. And also for your OES, you mentioned something about it going back to profitability. I didn't quite get that piece right properly. So I would like to have a recap of that piece.
Right, thank you very much. Our current production is 3,500 barrels from the OML 125 for the period, and it's approximately 1,500 barrels a day from It's a daily production currently is about 1,500 barrels. It's been taken back, but on average, it was about 922 barrels as a result of the pipeline shutdown we had between February 16th and April 18th. But today's production levels are around the 5,000 barrel mark. Now, as a result of our successful well campaign in 13, we should be adding on 2,000 barrels a day of production once the evacuation facilities are complete. We've drilled our wells. We're just waiting for the connection into the ExxonMobil's Quaibor export facilities to be completed, and we will commence our injection of crude in there. We expect that to occur by latest the end of the first quarter of next year. Similarly, as a result of the increased, the successful drilling which has occurred on 56, we should also increase our production in 56 by a total of 7,000 barrels a day gross, which should increase our net production by another 1,500 net to us. This is prior to the final well, which is being drilled, and there will be a drilling update which would also add on additional export capacity, and we should be able to provide guidance to the market by the end of the year regarding what that is expected to be. So we expect a 70% increase in production by the first quarter of next year.
Okay, just a recap. I want to be sure I got you quite right. You said current production is about 5,000 barrels. I mean, current level is about 1,500 barrels per day.
No, current production from the two fields is about 5,000 barrels a day, which is 3,500 from 125 and 1,500 from the Ebendo field.
Okay. And you expect that to go to about 7,000?
Correct. As a result of Quaibor contributing 2,000 barrels approximately per day, and also an increase of 1,500 from Ebendo once the Mugini pipeline is completed and we can evacuate the oil that we have secured as a result of the last well that was drilled.
Okay. And you said that the final update about a well being drilled will be provided later on.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, okay, apart from the 7,000 barrels total that you have mentioned from Quaibor and what you're doing for, I think, like, you also mentioned something about a final well that's been drilled. The guidance will be provided later. Hello?
Yeah, okay, I understand the question. Basically, Quaibor is 2,000. EB6 will contribute 1,500. So we expect 3,500 barrels a day of production by Q1. And then, we then also expect EB7. We will provide guidance for EB7, but drilling location has been prepared, and we are in the process of getting ready to get that drilled. And there will be guidance by the next quarterly call regarding the success of that drilling campaign.
Okay, thank you. Also on energy services,
yes, I think the point that I was trying to make is that the energy services sector, the rigs, primarily. The company in this half year generated 11 billion naira and had a gross margin of 7.3 billion naira and an earnings before interest and tax of 4 billion naira. But as a result of its finance cost, okay, it generated a loss after tax of 1.5 billion naira. Now, when the fourth rig comes into operation, then our phase one business plan of the services division is complete. That rig would attract $100,000 dollars per day and will have EBITDA of $18 million, or approximately 2.7 billion naira, and that moves the division into profitability. So we are extremely confident that we will have OES in profitability by the first quarter of next year, because it will comfortably be able to service its liabilities, its interest, as well on its own as a standalone division. Prior to that, it was supported by effectively other divisions within the group funding developmental costs. But the division will be able to be a net contributor to the group as a result of the addition of the fourth rig into operation.
Okay, I got that. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 now on your telephone keypad. Star 1. At the moment, we don't have any questions coming through, so as a final reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 now on your keypad. Here we have a question now from the line of Gabenga Sholatan from Standard Bank Sec Nigeria. Please go ahead.
I just have a follow-up question concerning gas prices for GasLink and East Horizon Gas. I recall on the conference call you mentioned that the margins of East Horizon Gas Company were kind of lower because customers were able to negotiate better contracts. I just want to have an idea of what the prices are for gas for this year and where you see the gas prices going forward.
And the gas prices are linked to the US dollar, so we are we have long-term contracts anyway. So we've signed a 20-year take-or-pay on the Eastern Horizon pipeline, so there will be no changes to our gas price, which is done. So you will not find. I mean, the gas business is pretty steady. The margin in our gas business is approximately 25% per annum. And it's the kind of business you will see us invest more money into, which is the midstream, as well as the upstream, like I discussed, simply because there's a lot less, but the volatility doesn't really exist in the business, apart from whenever we have a pipeline interruption. The fixed costs are front-loaded, and the quality of the clientele base is very good. So you will not see much, there's unlikely to be any volatility either in its revenues or its pricing or its margin.
Okay. Then secondly, I said the tax rate for your option division in H1 was about 81% and was 86% in H2. Is there like a tax concession for your option business in this year?
Yes, we will get some concessions as we go along, because we have being a company with indigenous status, we often will push our indigenous status as and where it suits us towards getting tax concessions. And currently, on one of the production fields, we do get tax concessions.
The reason I'm asking this is because in H1, your tax rate is actually 31%, which is very low for an upstream business. So I'm trying to find out if there's any tax concession applied in H1 already.
Okay. Yeah. We've got two assets. On one of the assets, there is concession, and we have already applied that concession on the asset.
Okay.
On the other one, there is none, and so it reflects what the tax is on the asset.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks. So the last question concerning your Papa Subsea Jetty. You made mention that it was going to contribute to revenues and earnings going forward. Just want to find out like what percentage will this contribute to revenue and earnings going forward.
Yeah, Apapa Jetty will contribute approximately, I think, revenues of about $36 million. Gross revenues about $36 million, and this is. We're using a very conservative throughput rate, although we expect the throughput rate to effectively double once the jetty has been fully stabilized, as well as the additional piping work which we are doing to optimize delivery into the whole of the Apapa region, because the facility will be utilized both for our imports and for the industry imports in general, and we are doing some pipeline expansion work as a common carrier to provide throughput facilities for the other majors who are involved.
So in terms of earnings, do you have an estimate for like net income from these projects?
It's not something which we'd like to reveal. This we're in the process of setting and finalizing a tariff. I think that if you do, please allow us to do the commissioning. It's quite a sensitive project, and we would like to effectively hold that information until we commence the operation, which we will do. The facility will be commissioned at the end of this year, and we should have all our test throughputing occurring in the first quarter of next year, and we have steady revenue by Q2 of next year.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 now on your keypad. At the moment, we have no further questions, so I'll hand back to your host. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd just like to conclude by saying that the company is extremely focused on a three-pronged strategy of improving its liquidity by substantially reducing our debt, improving our profitability by the diversification into the upstream, and also growing the overall size of the business, but focusing really on only the high-margin sector of our business, which is the midstream and the upstream. Cash flow is a priority for the business, and the company does have a forecast, which is done by its rights issue, and we continue to ensure that the dividend payout, as per our forecast, will be achievable in the years to come. And our focus really as a business is really on generating enough net cash flow to provide the return as forecast. So thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.